Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 209, Profit and Loss, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by Robert Hall, directed by Barbara Brown. In the ratings department, a 0.6 rating with 5.93 million viewers. Pete, this ties the rating low number and is a new low in total viewers. This down from a lofty 1.0 with 8.14 million viewers last week. So here we see what happens when there is no the NFL on CBS to serve as a lead-in for most of the country.
And an 8 o'clock start time, which, while more agreeable for Fantastic Geek, and I would have to think most viewers to get the episode earlier, I don't think people fully know when to expect this show comes on with national football action each week. So I think it's a dual-edged sword at this point.
Well, Pete, here's what I know. For next week, the rating situation is going to be a whole lot better in that there is no episode. Therefore, there can't be any ratings concern. Next new episode is in 2 weeks' time on December 8th. And again, we're still projecting that that is probably it for 2019, with some reruns and some holiday programming, etc., ahead for CBS, and the show probably returning somewhere in the neighborhood of January 12th. But as we discussed last week, still interrupted by the Super Bowl and the Oscars airing on other networks. So before you know it, Pete, it's going to be hop, skip, and a jump. We're at March, and it'll be five or so episodes left.
Well, let's take a stroll through the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment about this episode. Miles and Arthur are playing chess, and Miles just took a bishop from the bishop. There's a bishop's council meeting tomorrow, and Miles will be meeting Kara's stepfather at dinner. They also recap that Trish was at the consecration and that last week's adventure teased whether the God account prophet needs to live life without love. Would Miles pass the Abrahamic test?
At Identity Seal, Rakesh and Kara are chatting up their respective jobs and recap his being broken up for real. They also cover money man Jonathan Carter and the possibility of insider trading. It's all related to Kara's article that she's working on with Adam. At dinner, Miles is welcomed into their home. Stepdad Paul's a cool guy who loves the Yanks too. Come on, Stephen Lillian, where's the Mets love? Then the account hits Miles with a friend suggestion. Stepdad Paul. He's a financial planner, but one of the nice ones who helps normal people save money for the future. Kara's family also loves the fact that Miles is a podcaster. They are cool, aren't they? After dinner, Miles shares the friend's suggestion with Kara.
She's shaken and can't figure out what's wrong with Paul. At Ali's bar, Rakesh has a long face, not because of Jaya, but because his work presentation was, quote, uninspired, unquote. Ali notes he can be inspiring and that he will make it happen. At Arthur's council meeting, Marvel Cinematic Universe President Matthew Ellis, or the Reverend Elias, reminds Arthur that his wide-reaching plans are a long way from Harlem Episcopal.
Back with Miles and Kara, Paul's bemused by the account's attention, but fesses up that work is slowing down. Still, he's open to help from the account if something crops up. Kara's reluctant for the usual plays to be run, particularly Rakesh secretly digging into the friend's suggestions email. Anyway, she's off. Adam has a lead on Jonathan Carter. Miles stays on Paul's tail. Miles and Kara meet up as Paul and Jonathan are having a meeting too.
Miles and Kara update Paul about Jonathan's insider trading. Is Paul doing it too? In Arthur's office, he has a powwow with the Reverend Elias, the latter of which was an opponent of Arthur's elevation. After all, Arthur's got a son who doesn't believe in God, a daughter who's gone to that other church, and that girlfriend who's not married to him. Indeed, Elias says Arthur should let a, quote, more traditional, unquote, bishop, read him, take over. Back to Miles and company, Paul explains this is about the gray but legal information that Jonathan uses, and Paul needs one of those tips badly. Paul steps away. Kara's sure it's all legit, but Miles isn't sure. The couple, surprisingly, is in conflict.
Miles meets up with the family at Allie's bar. Trish underscores that info from a chauffeur is insider trading, and Miles wonders if this will shake up his relationship. Arthur counsels Faith. At Catapult, Adam smolders and tells Kara he's got enough info from an anonymous tip to go with the story. Kara's off to go see Miles. He's the anonymous tip, but he acted to fix the situation. Rakesh is impressed that Miles did all the work, but Kara's got the byline. Rakesh also spells out the plan. Help Paul, Kara will return. Miles is also asked to join the Facebook group Storm Chasers. Kara talks with Paul. He's worried that he still can't do right by his clients and family.
At Allie's bar, she's figured out why Elias is stonewalling her father. Trish is going to help Arthur. Knock, knock. Miles is at Kara's door. They need to help Paul. Mom's brought into the fold, and she lets slip that Paul and Jonathan have been pals for 20 years. Another knock, knock. The FBI is at the door, search warrant in hand. The search starts, and it looks like Paul, and maybe Jonathan, are on the run to Canada. They find Paul at New York City's small regional airport, and he fesses up immediately. He's got dirty money set aside and is set to rabbit up north. Kara reminds him he's set to leave his daughter, too. He goes home and says he'll testify against Jonathan and see some jail time, but says he'll be back. Then he leaves. Susan asks Miles where the God account happy ending is, and he's got no answer.
At Arthur's office, Trish wants to be a part of Arthur's life as bishop. He's softly reminded about knowing the solution. At the next council meeting, Arthur shows Elias the door, and the council supports him. Back at Allie's bar, Rakesh and Miles are long-faced. Allie's had enough. Take action, boys! Rakesh puts it all together. He can take all he knows to create a soulmate search engine that can help his love life and job. Miles goes to Kara's house, finding out that Paul will only be in jail for a year or two. How will the family get through this? How will the couple get through this? She says the account isn't to blame. Miles is, and he'll have to live with that choice. As Kara closes the door to end the episode.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, is this curtains for Miles and Kara? Furthermore, I just want to say, Pete, here I am, okay, watching this episode. I've got my hanky. I'm dabbing away the tears. Spoiler, Pete promised me weddings and happiness for this half of the season. Arthur and Trish, tenuous at best, okay? She's starting to come around a little bit, but the woman's been asked to make sacrifices, okay? Jaya, out the door, her radiant beauty not showing up at all in this episode. Kara and Miles, Pete, a wedge where one has not existed for the previous, you know, entire run of the series. Is love gone? Why is the show breaking my heart? And most of all, will Peter J. Kettler be brought to answer?
Well, again, it's not my fault they zagged on the wedding storyline. But if you look at this episode, you've got Trish being drawn closer to Joe Morton's Reverend Finer through the events. So there's that. I still think we're going to get wedding bells between the two of them. Maybe they can further tick off the Reverend Elias by eloping or something, that it doesn't actually happen in a church. Because that'll really get his goat. But Miles and Kara, if you were going to have this first episode, Matt, of 29 episodes of God, Friend, and Me, to not have an uplift for the first time at the end, this was the one. And I can't tell you how many people I've noted between Twitter, between Facebook, you know, wait, where was the good vibes at the end? What have you done with my God friended me? Oh, we'll downgrade your ratings now. Maybe that's it, Matt.
Certainly, Pete, the show consciously venturing into new territory here. And we've spoken so much about how the show tries to balance, I think ably balances, succeeds in balancing the space between the episodic and the serial. And certainly we have this standalone bit with Paul. I don't think we're going to see him for the next 1 to 2 years, or if he gets the, what's her name from the college, admission scandal, you know, he'll probably be back in 4 days, but I digress. Yeah. Lori Loughlin's gone up the river for a longer time. I'm talking
Felicity Huffman.
Yes. But I mean, joking aside, the show saying 1 to 2 years, that's their way of saying, don't expect Paul again, like next week, like maybe at the end of the season or maybe next season or something like that. But the effect nonetheless impacting all our hearts.
Well, you're assuming, of course, that, all right, so he's going to plead guilty. The prison sentence, maybe we get, you know, the ankle bracelet storyline. But I think the greater concern for our overall characters. So now this has happened to Kara's sister. Now she's going to go through a situation where she is without a parent for an extended period of time, much like Kara was, and how formative that was. For Kara, I mean, complicating her early romance with Miles, and now this wedge that's been driven between the two of them.
Pete, we see here this spiral, and as you mentioned, it is the sister Liv who perhaps is the biggest victim of all. You know, dad gone, family in disarray. I mean, one even wonders what's the next year of income look like for that family? I don't know if that's necessarily a direction that the show will take, although...
In yet another impossibly large New York home on this show.
Yes, the comment I had sent to you via text I stand by, which is this financial advisor, judging by his home that has a view on, but I'm assuming is Central Park, but given by the size of it, if he's not on the take, he darn well should be.
Yeah, it's very, very large and spacious and just not what you find in New York City amongst people who don't pull in, you know, millions and millions a year. But we digress. I thought it very interesting, Matt, that we have Adam name checked a number of times and then he crops up in the one scene. Correct me if I'm wrong, we never had an actual confirmation that the two of them would work together. So Miles and Kara on the rocks, Adam and Kara working together. We're, you know, don't hold this like you held the wedding prediction, Matt, but, you know, we're just an episode away from, and he saw them at the holiday party and there we are.
While watching this episode, I definitely, my initial reaction with the Kara Adam working together storyline, my initial reaction was, I think I missed an episode. And then I was like, wait, I don't. I podcast the show. I'm keeping track of the numbers. I wonder if maybe in prior episodes there were, you know, there was a scene here and a scene there to show some further progress, and maybe that got cut for time because when last I heard, it wasn't as advanced as it was now. As for Adam's, you know, Adam's plans in the future, Pete, all I know is this. He must have kept that t-shirt that he wore to the office. It must have been in the dryer a little bit too long because, boy, it was tight around them muscles. And I don't know if he's trying for any shenanigans or not, but Pete, Adam's shirt has me questioning some things. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, speaking of questions... Maybe it's her association with Adam, but Kara continues to come up with ethical dilemmas. Spiking a story here. Oh, there's not enough. It's not a story anymore. essentially looking the other way when she knows the likelihood that a crime is being committed. And this is a story, apart from the fact that if she had a connection in terms of family to the story, any publication worth its salt is going to take that away from her, and it would be solely Adam's story, as she has a conflict of interest.
I think add to that the speed with which she was looking to spike it, add to it the... I understand the hurt, but like, this is how the account works. This is how, you know, insider trading works. I think that her character was a bit more weak for her interactions in this episode. It's a logical step by step that she takes, but I think you get to the end of the episode and it kind of just feels like her words were put through the emotional mill, and on the other end we had the breakup that we've been eyeing for, you know, roughly the midpoint of the season, that kind of thing that got pegged on the old whiteboard back in July, that sort of situation.
And add to that, that an anonymous tip, which is all Adam has, is not enough to build a story around.
Well, Pete, let me just play devil's advocate with that. I don't know that the episode presented the anonymous tip as the foundation of the story, just that it was the tipping point through which all the other pieces that he had came into focus to whatever degree that they did. I must confess, I don't think, you know, this wasn't All the President's Men or something like that with that level of nuance, and not a slam against the episode, but I thought it was presented as this is the tip that made everything work.
And I get that, but it seemed more so that they were constructing the story largely around that. So I just found it, and I get it. Catapult is not, you know, the New York Times. It's not the Washington Post. It's more akin to your BuzzFeed or maybe something slightly in between. But journalism is journalism. And, you know, if you do not want to get sued, you're not building something around an anonymous tip. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. But speaking of the cookie crumbling, Matt, that Reverend Elias, maybe the big villain?
Certainly for the Arthur portion of the storyline. And, you know, big, big props to William Sadler, who takes these lines talking about the atheist son, the daughter that goes to the other church, the girlfriend that, you know, who's not married to Arthur. And you can tell he has no sympathy for the atheist, which, as a man of faith, I think he's being a little, you know, stick in the mud, but okay, I get. He is full on in his presentation. He's full on, you know, anti same-sex marriage, same-sex relationship. All of that is just intuited by the performance. And then you have the line, you know, what is it? You're a long way from Harlem Episcopal. I mean, there's racial context and suggestion there.
More traditional candidate. I mean, yeah. And I think the show is better for not going to the low-hanging fruit of direct reference to race, that it's coded, that there's some nuance to it. And William Sadler really is the one to deliver it in a calculated, cold way.
He is. I mean, that's a case of you get this veteran actor to share those emotions without needing to have the lines that really hammer it home. Indeed, Pete, my only complaint, if only he could have been part of the go to prison storyline and we could have gotten an Alexandre Dumas reference, but alas, not all things are meant to be.
And then Rakesh with this soulmate program, wanting to show Jaya, making use of the inspiration and the ability that he has. I could really see this storyline taking off over the next several episodes.
Particularly given how, you know, we've shared some concerns of Rakesh being the magical tech person where he gets you from the beginning of this act to the middle of it by saying, well, he likes lollipops and he goes to the lollipop factory down at the corner and, you know, he's kind of like an exposition magic wand. to now have Rakesh take that technological knowledge and to do something that impacts his work life and those stories and his romantic life and those stories, let alone whatever the next twist and turn could be, I think it's a good use of him as a character. Similar, you know, we're still kind of getting Allie out from the bar doing things other than bar things. But all this is a positive growth. Pete, speaking of which, helping us grow the podcast are the people who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. As that bandwidth and storage meter spins ever faster and faster, they are there to help it make it possible that we can grow.
This being our record-breaking 160th podcast episode of 2019, surpassing last year's record of 159, and inconceivable that we could do any of this without our patrons. All it takes is $1 a month, a pittance at a quarter a week to help us do this and our 18 other podcasts. Feeds, whether it's the Mandalorian podcast by Fantastic Geek, whether it's the Watchmen podcast by Fantastic Geek, he can keep in everything in our backlog available for you. Can't contribute just now? Get yourself over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating. It takes a second. Just give us the little star rating, maybe even a review, and help us immeasurably.
God Friended Me this week might not have ended with the uplift, but for all those who help us in all the many ways, you are our God Friended Me uplift.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, our traditional poll after the episode, 1 star, bad presentation, got 7%. 2 stars, Reverend Elias, got 29%. 3 stars, tip by Anonymous. Pete, you might have heard of this author, Anonymous, that's been writing stuff lately, 21%. And then 4 stars, Oh Canada, got 43%. As for some tweets sent our way, Pete, we start with Peter, that's at TweetScala. It was a very good episode, and it showed how we all deal with bad things that happen in life.
Yeah, quite an astute observation. I mean, even at the height of the wonderful things happening on the show, they've got to be leveled off.
Another tweet here from Andre Yeager, that's at Dr. Polo 1983. Mom was right. This is the first non-happy ending. Miles needs to figure out a way to pull things back together. Also a tweet from David Williams, that's at Dan T. Virus. Kara and Miles got hosed by the God account. And then Pete, last tweet here from Fritz Klug, that's at Fritz Klug. Mixed feelings. As a former journalist, Kara's portrayal was off. And if Miles let it go, her stepdad would be in Canada. I really did like their conversation in the airport. And is Rakesh's app the beginning of something like a new God account?
Ooh, I like that idea. A rival God account. Maybe a non-religious one in terms of the connections there. So that's a pretty interesting proposition.
Pete, with this lengthy 2 weeks off that we have until the next episode of God Friend and Me, how can people be in touch with you to talk about GFM?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, 10,867 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek. All one word, with the P, with the H. Like it today.
Well, Pete, as mentioned, if you're here for the God Friend and Me, we will be back on December 9th. That's the day after the next episode, December 8th. If you're here on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, my goodness, we have Watchmen on Wednesday. We have Star Wars The Mandalorian on Star Wars Saturday. And we'll keep on rolling with that for a bit. But for now, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
If you make money your god, it will plague you like the devil.